Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith, produced by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan, Archdiocese of Detroit. Our pastor is Reverend Joseph Gambala. Our technical wizards are Zach Murphy and Ursula Krauss, and my name is Gordon Peck. Our program is Fingerprints of God, or Archaeology Confirming Sacred Scripture. This is part three in a series. As in all things, let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you gave us your Son to bring your word into our world. Open our hearts that your will might enter into us and motivate us to share what we learn with a world struggling for meaning. Holy Spirit, guide us in our studies and lead us to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, in every age, there have been doubters and scoffers who have denied the existence of God or any of the stories of his holy ways, and faith serves those who believe, and archaeology can help. So our story, number six, is Jacob's journey to Haran. Beginning in Genesis chapter 25, we read, "These are the descendants of Isaac, son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel and Aramean, the Aramean of Padan Aram, and the sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac entreated the Lord on behalf of his wife since she was sterile. And the Lord heard this entreaty, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. But the children jostled each other in the womb so much that she exclaimed, 'If it is like this, why go on living?' And she went to consult the Lord, and the Lord answered her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples are separating while still within you, but one will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger.' When the time of her delivery came, there were twins in her womb. The first to emerge was reddish, and his whole body was like a hairy mantle, so they named him Esau. The next his brother came out, gripping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob." It means one who grasps. "Isaac was 60 years old when they were born." Now, Esau and Jacob are two nations. Esau becomes the favorite of his father, and Jacob becomes the favorite of his mother. On one epic day, they will each seek the birthright blessing of their father. Genesis chapter 25, verse 29. "Once when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, 'Let me gulp down some of that red stuff. I am famished.' That is why he was called Edom." Edom means red. "But Jacob replied, 'First sell me your right as the firstborn.' 'Look,' said Esau, 'I'm on the point of dying. What good is the right as firstborn to me?' But Jacob said, 'Swear to me first.' So he sold Jacob his right as firstborn under oath. And Jacob then gave him some bread and the lentil stew. And Esau ate, drank, got up, and went on his way. So Esau treated his right as firstborn with disdain." This is a great picture of them here. You can see Esau on the left, the big, hairy, reddish-skinned brother begging for the stew that Jacob has made. Besides being a blessing, the birthright gave the one receiving it a double share of inheritance. So Rebekah is watchful of all the interactions between Isaac and her sons. And meanwhile, Esau goes out and marries a Hittite woman, which becomes a source of bitterness for both Rebekah and Isaac. The Hittites were pagan people that lived in the land. "When Isaac was so old that his eyesight had failed him, he called his older son Esau and said to him, 'My son.' 'Here I am,' he replied. Isaac then said, 'Now I have grown old. I do not know when I might die. So now take your hunting gear, your quiver and bow, and go out into the open country to hunt some game for me. Then prepare for me a dish in the way I like, and bring it in to me to eat, so that I may bless you before I die.' So Esau goes hunting, and Rebekah devises a ruse to be acted out upon her nearly blind husband for Jacob's benefit. Rebecca prepares a dinner, just the way her husband Isaac likes it, and then she has her son Jacob serve it, all the while pretending to be Esau. So the result is that Jacob receives the birthright, and Esau, who returns from the hunt, cannot prevent what has already occurred. Esau emits murderous threats against Jacob, and Isaac forbids Jacob to marry a Canaanite woman. So Rebekah urges Jacob to go to Mesopotamia and find a wife from amongst her family. In Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 12, we read, Jacob departed from Beersheba and proceeded toward Haran. Beersheba is in the Canaanite land where they're living, and Haran is back in Mesopotamia. When he came upon a certain place, he stopped there for the night since the sun had already set. And taking one of the stones at the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And then he had a dream. A stairway rested on the ground with its top reaching to the heavens, and God's angels were going up and down on it. Well, Beersheba is in the south of the lands where Jacob and his family kept their flocks. You can see it on the map. Beersheba is the farthest south. Jacob traveled north, and he stopped for the night at Bethel, which means house of God. Bethel was bordered by Luz on the west and Ai on the east. These are both Canaanite cities. Verse 13, and there was the Lord standing beside him and saying, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you are lying, I will give to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and through them you will spread to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And you and your descendants, all the families of the earth, will find blessing. I am with you and will protect you wherever you go, and bring you back to this land. I will never leave you until I have done what I promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he said, truly the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome this place is. There is nothing else but the house of God. This is nothing else but the house of God, the gateway to heaven. And early the next morning, Jacob took the stone that he'd put under his head, and he set it up as a sacred pillar, and he poured oil on top of it. And he named that place Bethel, whereas the former name of the town had been Luz. Jacob then made this vow. If God will be with me and protect me on this journey I am making, and give me food to eat and clothes to wear, and I come back safely to my father's house, the Lord will be my God. This stone that I have set up as a sacred pillar will be the house of God. Of everything you give me, I will return a tenth part to you without fail. Well, in 1934, the American archaeologist William F. Albright excavated portions of the Palestinian city of Beitin. Beitin means gate to heaven. That's exactly the same name that Jacob gave to this place. Albright felt that the name preservation, in addition to his excavation, was indicative that Beitin was indeed Bethel. Jacob's Bethel was located between Luz, which is Beitin, and Ai, and that site has now been absorbed by Beitin's city limits, so the city got bigger and filled in. And the site is marked by the ruins from the 300s and the later medieval period. So you can see in this photograph here, you see the circular section right in the very beginning, right in the very center of the aerial photograph. That is the apse of the church that was built in the Byzantine period to mark the spot. And then the square building to the right of that is a building from the Crusader era, which was a watchtower. Okay, so the circular apse is the Byzantine church, and that St. Jerome visited this church around 350 AD when it was complete and being used, and he wrote that it was built on the site where Jacob had his vision of the stairway to heaven. Now, the ruins of Ai are immediately east of Bethel, and that city was destroyed by Joshua soon after the Israelites entered the Promised Land, and it has remained barren to this day. So nothing has been built at Ai. We come to our seventh story now, Jacob's encounter at Peniel. Now Jacob, his wives, his concubines, his children, and servants began their journey back to Bethel by traveling south from Haran to the Jabbok River. Well, you all know the story. Jacob goes to Haran. He sees Rachel at the well. He falls immediately in love with her. He wants to marry her. Her father, I guess Laban, says, you got to work for 7 years for her. And he says, okay, sure. And he works 7 years. And then that night they have a wedding ceremony and he switches Leah, the older sister, and then tells Jacob in the morning when he's all upset and angry about it, he says, well, of course the older sister has to be married first, but I'll tell you what, work another 7 years and you can have Rachel too. So Jacob goes along with it and he eventually winds up with Leah, Rachel, Zilpah and Bilhah. They're handmaidens. So by four different women, he has 11 sons and one daughter, and the one he loves the most, Rachel, is pregnant, and they're setting out from Haran. They're going to go back to Bethel. They're going to go back to his where he grew up, and they're going to live there. And they take this route on the map. They go south through what would be Jordan, and they're going to go to a place called the Jabbok River, and they're going to follow that as it flows into the Jordan River, then cross over and go back to Bethel. So in chapter 32, verse 4-7, we read that Jacob sent messengers ahead to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the county of Edom, ordering them, thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have been residing with Laban and have been delayed until now. I own oxen, donkeys, and sheep, as well as male and female servants. I have sent my lord this message in the hope of gaining your favor. In other words, I'll pay you a bribe if you let me live peacefully in the land. When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, we found your brother Esau. He is now coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. Well, that doesn't sound too good. Sounds like he's bringing an army. So Jacob was fearful that Esau was coming to avenge himself over the birthright issue. So he set his wives and his children, his servants, on the mount to the south side of the river, while he himself waited alone for Esau on the north mount. And Jacob intended to encounter Esau before his brother could get to Jacob's families and possessions and defuse the situation. Jacob hoped he would have a plan, but he realized that all was in God's hands. So he prayed a simple prayer. He said, Lord, save me. Then Jacob prayed, God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, you, Lord, who said to me, go back to your land and your relatives and I will be good to you. I am unworthy of all the acts of kindness and faithfulness you have performed for your servant. Although I crossed the Jordan here with nothing but my staff, I have now grown into two camps. Save me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. Otherwise, I fear he will come and strike me down and the mothers with the children. You yourself said, I will be very good to you, and I will make your descendants like the sands of the sea, which are too numerous to count. That night, however, Jacob arose, took his two wives and their two maidservants and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had got them and brought them across the wadi and brought them over what belonged to them, Jacob was left there alone. And then a man wrestled with him until the break of dawn. A man appears and starts to wrestle with him. When the man saw that he could not prevail over him, he struck Jacob's hip at its socket, so that Jacob's socket was dislocated as he wrestled with him. The man then said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. What is your name? The man asked. And he answered, Jacob. Then the man said, you shall no longer be named Jacob, but Israel, because you have contended with the divine and human beings and have prevailed. And Jacob then asked him, please tell me your name. He answered, why do you ask for my name? And with that, he blessed him. So Jacob knew who he had wrestled with, and he named the place Peniel, because I have seen God face to face, he said, yet my life has been spared. So Jacob sent small herds of animals ahead of his party and towards Esau. He's going to defuse the situation. He's going to try to buy the peace. When Esau and Jacob met, Esau asked what all the animals were for. And Jacob answered that they were gifts to entice Esau toward peace with Jacob and his family. Esau answered that gifts were not necessary and that he bore no ill will toward Jacob. Jacob's prayer was answered. And Jacob and his family retinue went forward to Succoth and ultimately to Bethel in peace and safety. Well, in 1877, an American archaeologist by the name of Selah Merrill discovered the site of Peniel on the Jabbok River in Jordan. Selah Merrill was a very interesting person, even beyond this discovery. He was a medical officer in the Civil War, and he was attached to what was called the All Colored Regiment. So he was a very interesting person, cutting new lifestyles and making history. And now he became an archaeologist looking back into ancient history, and he discovers this location of where this meeting with God occurred for Jacob. And these are aerial photographs of what it looked like. Esau was coming from the west up the river, and Jacob went by himself and stood on the highest mountain closest to where Esau was. And he put all his family and servants and the rest of his retinue on the other mountain across the river. And there he waited. And he would either die trying to defend his family, or he would bargain and convince his brother to leave them in peace. So this is what it looks like from an aerial perspective. There's Peniel, the mount where Jacob is waiting. Here's Succoth, the city where they wanted to go to. And here's the Jabbok River, and they had to follow that route. And Esau's coming up that river toward him. Now, in the book of Judges, even now in a later time period, Gideon besieges the same place, Peniel, because it was occupied by people associated with the Midianites who were at war with Israel. So there was some action taking place in the same location. And then Jeroboam, the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel, came to Peniel and fortified it as a flanking maneuver to surround Jerusalem, the southern kingdom. And his fortifications have been found and excavated by archaeologists. And all of these later events mark the place where Jacob wrestled with God, since he first called the place Peniel, or the face of God. So all these other archaeological finds confirm that this is the place where Jacob came face to face with God. Also on top of that mountain, there was a synagogue built. And the synagogues at that time, and this is the time of Jesus, had heart-shaped columns in the corners. And it's hard to see in this photograph, but that's a slice through of one of those heart-shaped columns. And what's also interesting is that an ancient carving of a cross has been carved into that stone, which meant that early Christian pilgrims had come to this place where Jacob had encountered God. Genesis 35, verses 1 through 3. God said to Jacob, "Go up now to Bethel, settle there and build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. Let us now go up to Bethel so that I might build an altar there to the God who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone." On Jacob's arrival from Padam Aram, that's Haran, that's in Mesopotamia, God appeared to him again and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. You will no longer be named Jacob, but Israel will be your name." So he was named Israel. So the Lord once again confirms that this will be his name. Then God said to him, "I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation, indeed, an assembly of nations will stem from you, and kings will issue from your loins. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac I will give to you, and to your descendants after you I will give the land." Then God departed from him, and in the place where God had spoken with him, Jacob set up a sacred pillar, a stone pillar, and upon it he made a libation and poured out oil. Jacob named the place where God spoke to him as Bethel. excuse me. This comes to our eighth story. This was Jacob's well. Now, jump forward 1,800 years or so, and we have Jesus passing through this area, and Jesus had to pass through Samaria, and he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well, and it was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." I'm going to repeat that. If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. That's a summation of the gospel message right there. And the woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Well, 18 years after the well was dug, this woman, Photina, knew that it was Jacob's well. And 19 years after that, women were still coming to the well to draw water. The first church that was built on the site was erected in around the year 380, and the current church was completed in the year 2007. And this is what it looks like, and guess what its name is? St. Photina Church. It's named after the woman that was there at the well. She incidentally becomes a missionary, a disciple, and a martyr. She's martyred in Carthage many years later. But this is the church of St. Photina, and it sits over the top of the well. There's a convent here as well, and you can see that it's inside the city limits of Nablus, which is within the Palestinian zone, so there's Arabic writing on the sign. And like so many sites, it's difficult to visit. You have to make special permission to get into these Palestinian zones. This is what the well looks like inside the church. And there's four posts, and there's a pulley at the top, and that's the well right at the center. And you can see a silver bucket that can be lowered down into the well. It's 151 feet deep. Jacob dug this through a lot of rock way back then, 151 feet, and it's still good water, and it's still highly drinkable. So Jacob, if we look at his life in summary, he was born near Beersheba around the year 1900 BC. He slept at Bethel on his way to Haran to find a wife and also escape from Esau. He wrestled with God at Peniel, the face of God. He dug a well near Sychar, the modern city of Nablus, with his sons, and his lifespan was 147 years. He died in Egypt, where his son Joseph was a high-ranking official. Archaeological evidence exists in all of these places that attest to the life and experiences of Jacob, the fingerprints of God. Let us end in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.